Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and the laughing Milan Yurkovich in your phone calls on New Life Live.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Milan is the co-author with his wife, Kay, who wrote How We Love, and now they've written a new book, How We Love Our Kids. Came out about, 9 days ago or something like that. Very, very wonderful book on parenting. Dr. Sherry Denham, working on a couple of books. She'll be doing a seminar for us in September on wives battling back after their husband have gone through every man's battle, established sexual integrity. Or maybe they haven't yet. And these wives are right there in the battle with them, and you're going to be helping. Because
you bet.
You were married to a sex addict who was a pastor.
Yes, I was.
How does it feel to say that out loud to a couple of million people? Is that kind of weird?
Well, it is, actually. I mean, it's part of my life, and it's a part of who I am now. I mean, God has been redeeming that, and He's been my kinsman redeemer. But to actually, when you and Larry had asked me to consider doing that, I thought, oh, Lord, really? Lord, do you want me to share my shame? And the real hurt and the pain and the struggle, but the battle. And in the last few weeks, I prayed, and I really felt God calling me to help women learn how to battle in it so that we don't feel so wounded and victim-ish and no voice. And, you know, we just need to come together and say, what do I do to help fight this battle? How do I get healthy? How can I be the best warrior alongside of them as they're battling?
Well, I know there was a lot of pain and suffering that you went through, but look, you made it. You came out on the other side. You went and got a degree in counseling. You're helping a lot of people. Now you're going to do a workshop. So, you know, it really is, it's given your life a dimension of meaning that it wouldn't have had if you'd never been through that. And I think you're going to bring a lot of women out of the wilderness of suffering. I really do believe that.
Well, there's something by sitting in it, being in it. When I'm sitting in front of a wife, I get it. I know what they feel.
This is what I tell people when they're in pain, no matter how severe the story, that someday after God and the body of Christ has helped them heal, what will be their ministry out of this? What will be their testimony?
Right.
And powerful ministries and powerful testimonies are born out of pain.
If you would like a book that supports that, it is the foundation of this ministry. It's called Transformation. And in that book, Dave Stoop and I, we talk about one of the keys to healing is transforming your situation, the pain, the struggle, into a life mission. And it is the sixth step in transformation, where we go from being the victim to helping other victims not experience what we've experienced. Then the seventh key there in that book is just preserving the spiritual gains that you have there. But really, the ultimate step, other than preserving your game, is to turn this into something. And a lot of you, your life makes no sense whatsoever. Pain, struggle, suffering. But when you decide, I'm going to start serving people, and I'm going to start serving them out of my weakness, and I'm going to start serving them out of my pain versus victory and strength and all, your life all of a sudden makes sense like it never did before. And you start to see, wow, maybe that's how I got elected to come through something like this and have victory so that I could lead the other sheep out of it. That's what we want to see you do. Purpose out of the pain. A ministry or a mission out of the misery that you've been through. That's the Christian life. It turns it all around, and it doesn't wait for God to make something great out of the bad stuff. We make the decision to make it good. Good for somebody else, which is always good for us. We'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylan Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham and your phone calls. And let's go to the phones. That's what you listen for, I think. I want to talk with Paula. Here comes Paula. Oh, sorry. And here comes Paula. Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hello, Paula.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
First, I want to thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
I truly respect what you do, and I appreciate the help and hope that you give to people.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paula. Thanks for trusting us. How could we help you today?
Your opening remarks really were a perfect segue to what my questions were about.
Okay.
Basically, my husband is a hider. Anything he does that he thinks somebody isn't going to like or approve of, he hides. He's verbally abusive. He threatens and condemns and mocks. There's virtually no real communication because he shuts that down. There's really just one point of view in the relationship.
What do you think happened that got you from we can't live without each other, we've really just got to get married, to this? What do you think happened?
Well, I think there are a lot of other things involved. I mean, he lies about everything. There's just so much secrecy.
Yeah. But what do you think happened that got you from we're in love, we want to be married, this is going to be fabulous, to this?
Oh, I think it has everything to do with infidelity.
Were you or was he?
Him.
Him. And was it one time or many times?
I don't really know. Like I said, there's a lot of secrets. He has confessed that he's had at least 30 mistresses, and he doesn't specify what that term exactly means, but he has been on the telephone. He'd lock himself in the office and call different women, have different relationships.
Okay, so now your husband tells you about this. Then what was your reaction? What did you require of him?
I didn't know what to require of him because basically he hands me the terms, and he basically is controlling everything. And I know I need to get a spine, but he controls the money. He controls every form of communication.
Mm. Okay, I think we get the picture there. What is in your background that led you to believe that that's the way a woman is to be treated, or it's okay to be treated that way?
Oh, I don't believe it is, but I don't know.
Well, you fell into it, and you allowed yourself to be treated that way for a long time. Is that the way your dad was to your mom, or?
I think he was angry, and I think we didn't know really what to do with it, but. For the most part, he didn't do any of these types of things.
Okay.
But as a frightened little girl, it was really hard to stand up to an angry, raging dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you learned very early that it's not okay to stand up and to assert your voice or to say, stop it.
So it makes sense. It makes sense that you would end up in this kind of situation. and he would have the perfect victim for what he wants to do. What's the situation now? What's going on?
Well, I would like to find out exactly what the truth is, what's going on. He's got everything locked away, like I said, and all of his information.
Let me tell you the
Paula,
truth.
Paula, you have enough truth now, my dear.
Let me tell you the truth. He is a controlling sex addict who's out of control.
Right.
What do you need to know other than 33 mistresses or 30 mistresses?
And what's Paula's question?
Yeah. What's the question for us?
My question is how to get him to actually consent to go to counseling. We've gone a couple of times, but he always breaks it off because once the counselor wants
he doesn't
to
need
from
counseling.
Me, he
well,
breaks
he
it
doesn't
off.
Need counseling.
That's the wrong question.
Yeah, he doesn't need counseling at all.
No.
Well, I also would
he
like
needs
to
treatment. Him. He needs treatment.
I'd like him to go to the Everyman's Battle Workshop, but I don't know how. Everything seems to be like a game of brinksmanship with him.
Mm-hmm. And you always lose, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a game. A game, usually there's some equality, and I win a little bit, you win a little bit, but there's no game here, Paula, because you're losing all the time. It's a complete, utter dominance.
It's a pattern, not a game.
That's right. It's a complete, utter dominance.
Yeah.
But, Paula, you're staying in it. It's like Monopoly, and he's got all the property and all the money, and you're just sitting there at the board.
So why are you still there, Paula?
Because he threatens to take my kids away.
How can he do that?
How old are your kids?
There are three that are now graduated, and then there are three that are high school and below.
Yeah. Have you consulted with an attorney?
No.
No.
Okay. See, because that's a lie. He can't take your children away from you.
That's like someone abusing a child and saying, if you tell anyone, I'll kill your sister. See, it's the same dynamic,
Steve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
That's what he's doing. He's holding you hostage.
That's right.
He's spiritually, emotionally, and verbally abusive.
No kidding.
I mean, he'll tell me.
We get it.
Me, well, God wants this from you, or
Paula,
this is what God
Paula, this is not, you keep telling us all these things, and I guess we're asking you the question, do you want to get out of this? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to make movements?
Yes.
Okay, then consult with an attorney, find out what your rights are, because as soon as you establish, and you said, how can I get him to EMB?
Yeah. Well, wait a second. When she gets off the phone, she's going to be able to say, well, he said to consult an attorney, but she can use the excuse, but my husband controls the money, so I can't really go see an attorney because I can't pay for it. Is that right?
Well, what I'm afraid of is he controls the telephone. He controls every bit of communication on the computer, knows all the passwords.
So,
he knows everything about me.
So you don't have any intention of consulting an attorney, because then that would cause him to know you consulted an attorney. And what is he going to do if he knows you consult an attorney?
He's already threatened me and told me that he's looked into divorce and he's looked into the laws and he knows what. He's already got everything set up.
I am so sad.
See, what I was going to say was that many attorneys understand your victimized place.
Right.
And they will work on contingency basis, and you can pay them later after a settlement has been established. But you have every right to have one half of, at least in California, one half of whatever there is monetarily, and you have equal access to your children.
Okay, but here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that Paul is not willing to do anything
like that.
Well,
then that's a problem.
Yeah. So what's the question for us, Paula, other than how can you get him to stop? Because you're not really willing to do anything that might cause him to have to make some changes.
I just feel like I'm walking on a frozen pond, and I don't know when it's going to give out.
Right. You are. But see, you're not willing to step onto the bank of the frozen pond and get on dry land. He's telling you, don't get out of my frozen pond, where I'm in control of the ice thickness, and I'll crash you through this if I want to. But there are some things you could do to step off of that. But it takes you deciding that what you're doing is not fair to your children. It's not a good example to your children. It doesn't honor God in any way whatsoever. your God has become safety, predictability,
and fear.
Sameness, fear. Those are the kind of things that are running your life. Do you want those to run your life?
No. I feel like I'm forced to live a lie because he talks to the children behind my back and he makes everything my fault.
Okay, so see, the only way this is going to change is for you to rise up and do something you've never done before. Now, you don't have any women friends, do you?
Not to tell all these things to.
No, because he's cut those off from you.
Right.
But that's one thing that would have changed this from the beginning is if you had had friends who could have said, wow, here's what you can do, or here's what we'll help you do, or things like that. And so you're really isolated and alone until you are willing to step out and do some things that he's not going to like.
Okay.
Are you hearing that?
Uh-huh.
Because
I'm so sorry.
You're keeping yourself stuck, Paula. Do you see how you're keeping yourself stuck?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we want to do is give you some steps, baby steps, to get off the frozen pond, like okay. Steve was talking about. You need to go to a group, either a codependency group or a COSA. A group for wives of sex addicts.
But he doesn't let... Do you have a car?
Yes.
Does he let you go places by yourself in the evening?
He has to know where it is.
Yeah, that's pretty risky.
Well, what has he gone during the day?
No, he works from home.
Okay, well, you know what? You're going to go on a long grocery shopping spree, and you're going to find a group, and when you get done grocery shopping, you're going to find a group that you can go to. You have got to get out and get somewhere where you're getting some people to help you.
See, he's more than a sexual addict. He is a sociopath.
It's frightening.
See, it's very frightening.
That's
and
true.
Unless you bring yourself to a place where you find out, what can I do to get safety? So
yeah.
You have church leaders, but not all church leaders have the ability to outwit somebody like this. And,
right. We've been to two counselors. He smooth talks them and tells them that I'm not in submission.
Yeah. And but what kinds of counselors, you see? But the bottom line is you need a team of people around you. So Sherry is indicating a team. Steve's indicating a team. And I'm saying somehow you have to do your homework. And if he can, essentially you still have to find out what your legal rights are.
And you need to really look at, Paula, squarely in the face that you are acting, talking, and being a victim right now.
I know.
And as long as you stay a victim, nothing's changing.
The good news is that we've seen a lot of people go from this state of learned helplessness to learning a different way and discovering that they can live through whatever it is that the person throws up at them. But look at what's happening to your kids. They're being lied to about you. Are you willing for that to continue, for that to be the thing that's going to...
I just don't know how to keep them from being in the middle, because he'll take them off and have private conversations and
well,
tell
what
them
about
that I'm not a Christian and that all these
right.
different things.
What if I were to tell you...
That the relationship is the way it is. And
what if I were to tell you that unless you guys don't live together, that's probably going to happen the rest of your life. And if you're not willing to find out how you could take the kids from him, he probably isn't ever going to get better. Because he's always going to be in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if, you know, we talk about three different types of people. We talk about the wise person. We talk about the confused person, we'll say. And then there's the sick or evil person. And he's that third one.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's confused or they're just headed the wrong way. They think they've got it together, but they don't. There's a lot of hope there, but until somebody's willing to do something really radical, that third group usually doesn't make a move.
They never make a move. They're happy with their life.
Yeah.
They don't want it any different.
And the fear for us, as we're hearing you, Paula, is we're fearing for you too.
Well,
because there's
it.
Something in you that seems like you're in distress, but you're comfortable in that distress. Every time we bring a suggestion to you, you're like, well, no, he'll do this, he'll do that. And I'm like, you're going to have to get up and get out and get help. You're going to have to break through your fear.
It's been so long.
I know.
Yes.
But you can do it. We believe you can do it. We've seen lots of women do it. Recently, I helped a woman just get a phone for the first time in a P.O. box. You can do it.
All right, I want you to hold on. We want to give you a little help off the air. I just feel so bad that you're in this situation and you feel so helpless and paralyzed. We'll take a break and come back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Pray for that last caller. I pray for Paula. I pray for some supernatural breakthrough. And probably the only way that's going to happen is for the older kids to be consulted, the ones that are out of the house, the three out of the house, and say, what can I do? And what could you help me do?
But she fears opening her mouth. Typically, victims are voiceless. They don't formulate their thoughts well. They struggle. And they have a very difficult time creating alliances because the fear is so deep that should they be exposed, they're afraid to risk.
Yeah.
So all we're asking her to do, and all of us tried to get her to take some steps, that involves risk. That risk is so overwhelming that the victim will stay put in the corner right where they were placed by the controller.
Yeah.
And they won't move.
Yeah.
And there's not a prison cell there.
Mm. This is one of the sickest, saddest cases that I've ever heard of.
It's very sad.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart.
Unfortunately, it's far more common than you would imagine. And additionally, there are a lot of people who then embrace Christianity, and they see further levels of rigidity in God. And that's all they see are the rigid parts of God, the punitive parts of God, the judgmental parts of God. And they're completely lost in the grace and mercy elements.
Yeah.
And victims are often attracted to controllers.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I tell you, we have a New Life weekend coming up in Dallas, and I just wonder if anybody would pay her way to go. You know, maybe she could take a bold move and get a weekend away. Maybe visit one of her kids, and her kids then let her go or help her go to the weekend, and it's covered. I don't know. All right, let's talk to Judy from Leesburg, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi, Judy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, before I forget, I wanted to tell Paula, if she is listening, that I could actually feel what she's going through, only I went through it as a young child, and I just wanted to let her know that I will pray for her.
Oh, thanks, Judy.
Strength, but to have strength just to take a little step, because as she was telling her story, I actually could feel that paralyzing feeling I felt as a child and then, you know, later on in my life.
What was your father like? What did he do that made you feel that way?
My father? Well, my father was very passive, controlled by my mother. I've just learned recently through going through therapy that I was, and it's even still hard for me to accept this, but I say it knowing that it was a truth, that I was sexually, emotionally, and physically abused as a very young child. And I know what that's like to not have a voice. And it's almost comforting in the familiarity of not being able to speak, but it's difficult. But I just wanted to let her know that I will be praying for her and that I understand what she's going through. And just to taking any little teeny tiny step is a huge step in the right direction.
You know what, Judy, that's exactly that. Sometimes a woman getting to hear you, another woman who's been there, helps give them that little bit of strength just to go, I'm not alone. And sometimes that's all they need to get the courage up. So thank you for sharing that and for praying for her. But, you know, it's so important to get with other people.
You know, Judy, you remind me of one of my life lessons I've learned at 57. And that is when you were talking about the comfort of silence.
Yes.
Well, one of the lessons I've learned is that we make a lot of choices that we don't want. We choose a lot of things that we don't want. We don't want to be silent, but we choose it because it's familiar. We don't want to be fat.
And it's not painful.
We don't want to be fat.
It's not as painful as something else.
We don't want to be fat.
No consequences. Nothing could happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Because really what we want is we want something to hold on to that we are comfortable with or familiar with or that we know because we are so, so insecure inside, so full of the chaos from childhood. So we make a lot of little decisions and choices that produce something that we absolutely don't want. Doesn't make any sense, but it makes all the sense in the world. How could we help you today? Judy from Leesburg, Virginia, listening on WAVA.
Okay. Well, my question is, I'm wondering if you can advise me how to get back my possessions and or how can I let go if I can't get them back? But on a deeper level, more important to me is I'm trying to figure out what does God want me to do in this situation that I'll explain to you. I'm just not getting a clear answer about it.
Okay. Now, who has your possessions?
Well, I've known a gentleman for about, I guess, 8 months. I moved in with him temporarily for less than a month, decided that it was just an unhealthy, dangerous, not good situation. So I left, and I kind of left feeling like I'm leaving just so at least I can be safe. And I recovered some of my things, but it doesn't look like there's any way that I can see that I'm going to get my stuff back. I speak to this person all the time. They call me, and I'm kind of selective about how many calls I accept. He was a former vet who was in a program for alcoholism. And he was in a home for 2 years, and this apartment that he moved to was his first experience out of the home.
Okay. Hey, are you a believer?
I am.
Are you? Okay. Christ follower.
Yes, I try to be.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I have a way for you to get your possessions back.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I think it's pretty
cool. I can hardly wait to hear.
All right. We'll come back right after this. You're listening to and watching New Life Live. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, talking with Judy, moved in with the guy, disaster. Just seems like to me that getting your stuff back wouldn't be as big an issue as getting you back.
As him getting me back?
No, you getting back the person.
Oh, me getting myself back?
That you want to be, making the decisions that you want to make, living the life that you've been called to live.
Okay.
I'll tell you how to get your possessions back in a little bit, but let's talk about you for a little bit, okay?
Right. In fact, I don't mean to interrupt you, but can I give you more information? I think there's kind of a thread about the possessions and things, because I was remarried for less than 2 years, several years ago, and a key part of me being in this marriage was this ex-husband of mine said I had to get rid of everything that a former boyfriend gave me. So basically, I had to clear out everything of my townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some kind of a thread through this with possessions that I'm not quite getting.
Stuff. Okay. All right. But how did you end? Let's talk about you and how you ended up with the guy.
Well, what she ended up with was not this guy, but the guy before who she was married to. She married yet another controller. See, you have to get rid of every possession.
Right.
So, and you said yes anyhow, you see.
I did.
And that's the thread. You go, what's the thread? The thread is, it's possessions, sure, but it's about being controlled and that person deciding what's best for your life. And what Steve is saying is, here we have hope for you because you decided to save yourself, and that's a higher value with this most recent encounter.
Right.
That's of higher value than the possessions. Now, the issue is, what within you decided to take refuge in a single man's house for a month? What prompted you to believe? What idealism inside, what naivety inside caused you?
Well, I can answer that.
Okay, please do. Because until you answer that, you're going to do it again.
Yeah, no, I can answer that. And it was something I kind of wrestled with, but just made a snap decision. I was living in a situation that I thought was going to be fine. Came to find out this, the previous situation was unhealthy. They were somehow manufacturing methamphetamines in the apartment below me, and everyone advised me just get out of that situation.
Oh, yeah, well, because that, you know, the whole bottom could get blown up on you. So go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, I left. And not really having a place to move to, this person that I had previously known for several months said, well, why don't you come live with me for a while? So I thought, fine, he'll help me get my stuff out of here. I'll just get out of there. But I think, to be honest with you, part of that decision was the whole way I was trained growing up. It was that fight or flight. It was quickly get your stuff and leave. And it was a matter of kind of self-preservation.
Sort of a panicky, yeah. Impulsive move.
I'm just curious. You didn't think about calling the police about the methamphetamine thing downstairs?
Well, what happened was I went to the rental office, and the police had been there off and on. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, what's going on here, you know, in the apartment below me? And they denied it. They just said that there was an argument going on. So I thought, nah, this doesn't, I'm not going to be able to get anywhere with this.
See, how do you know that was true? How do you know you were told truth that there was methamphetamine going on? How do you know that you were had the true story? Or did you react to something
well,
you got?
Well, I mean, I don't know that much about drugs, but I was having, there was a lot of smoke in my apartment.
Fumes.
I was having respiratory problems.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Confirmed by a tenant on the lower level. And
all right. So this is an illustration.
I was pretty sure that that's what it was.
Well, Judy, this is an illustration how people who come from chaotic backgrounds go from one dangerous situation to the next. They don't have the wherewithal mm-hmm. and the teams and the support to help them make good decisions, and they find themselves just digging into deeper
and
deeper levels.
They make them impulsively. When you get into a situation that feels like, in working with trauma victims, that chaotic, disorganized brain that Mylan talked about, when I look at what the belief is that gets wired around that negative experience in the past, something happened bad in the past, and I look at the negative belief, a lot of times it's something like, I'm in danger. And so if something else happens that smacks up against that, all
kind
of a sudden...
It mimics it,
Yeah, it mimics That's it. Good. And it's like, all of a sudden I go, my brain goes, you're in danger. Mm-hmm. Get out, get out, get out. So you make impulsive decisions and jump out of the frying pan into the fire and go, how did I get here?
Yeah. Judy, how old are you?
Yes. I am 56.
56, okay. I would like to disqualify you from dating.
I
would like to say to you that right now you're disqualified from dating a man. And you need some time away from men where you're, you know, trying to really get into a church, the group situation in a church, the Bible study, trying to find a place of ministry, even if it's, you know, working in the parking lot to help people park in the morning. That's what I would...
I am actually doing those things already.
All right. We'll just stop dating men so that you're really devoting a lot of time to connecting with other women, other Christian women, and really trying to be, rather than having all these problems, trying to be some type of ministry to somebody else. Okay.
Okay.
Now, if I could write a prescription for you, it would be... You are disqualified from dating for a year, and in the absence of men and focus on them, focus on God and the church and learning the Bible, Bible study, and ministry, okay?
And women.
And healing.
And women.
And women.
And healing this trauma wound.
Yeah.
Are you with a therapist right now, Judy?
Well, yes and no. It's Reiki, which is... kind of body work.
Right, I know what that is.
Yeah. That's helped me a great deal.
When's the last time you were in therapy with a licensed therapist?
Probably 12 years ago. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've had great difficulty finding someone.
Uh-huh. We'll help you find someone.
Yeah.
We have plenty of folks around that area that can help you. Now, if you'd commit to that, the best thing that could happen is that you would start going to church, and you would see that there are a couple of men there that could help you with this problem. But I think immediately to solve the problem, I'm wondering if there's a popular nightclub near where your boyfriend lives.
I don't know. I don't know anything about nightclubs.
Okay.
I,
because
I kind of
they usually have a bouncer or two. And I'm serious. You get a couple of men and you to go over and get the bouncers, and you say, hey, would you like to earn $100 after you get off work tonight? And you give them $100, say, I want you to go to my boyfriend's house with me, and I want to get my stuff back.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. You need some big people to go over there and say to him, we need to get the stuff.
Okay, well, that's the best solution I've ever heard.
I mean, really. I'm sorry, and I'm sure there's a lot of criticism people could have from that, but you can't do it yourself. You put yourself in jeopardy. But if you could find two really big people, but you need some big people to go meet the big people. And that's what happens in a church. But you need somebody that's not afraid to get, you know, involved, and they want to earn a quick dollar, and you go over there and you get the stuff that's yours.
But Judy, have you asked this guy for your stuff back? I haven't heard that yet.
Yes, I have.
Directly,
I ask him all the time.
Ask him for the stuff back. And what does he say?
Yes. And he told me, I asked him tonight, I said, why? Let me ask you a question. Why will you not let me have my possessions back? He said, because he doesn't like the place that I've moved to because it's remotely connected with someone that he does not like.
Okay, so controller number three.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other option is that you call the police and you tell them, I'd like to file a complaint. There is a man who has stolen all my stuff, and I need to get it back.
See, now that's a whole lot better, Steve, than bouncers.
Okay. You know, to tell you the truth, I've spoken with the deputies in this county for weeks, and they said unless I've signed a lease there, which I did not do, that I'd have to go and actually file a lawsuit against this person, which
okay.
is not. Cannot do that. It's not.
Well, yes, you can. There's legal aid that could help you do it for no money at all. See, you need to get your stuff back and get on with your life.
But I was thinking that's only going to provoke that person and
but
make
look,
that person sick.
You need to get on with your life, and that means
right.
that you need to get your stuff. It's important to you. You've already told us that. Get your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to get your stuff together. You need to change your phone, your internet, all that stuff. You need to change that so he can't get in touch with you and get on with your life. But the big thing is getting you back. And you're going to do
okay.
that in a healthy church, getting some counseling, and trying to connect for the first time in your life with some other women. It would really be a great experience for you. We're going to take a break, come back for our final segment right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Sometimes bouncer therapy is the only thing you can turn to. We'll be back.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to Abby from Anaheim, California, another KKLA listener. Hello, Abby. How are you?
Well, thank you.
How could we help you today? You're our final caller. Glad we got to talk with you. How's it going?
I know. Same here. It's going. Thank God.
Okay. Now, Abby, if you're dating a controller, we're just up to our neck and eyeballs in controlling men right now.
I'm not dating.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually separated.
Oh, okay. What happened?
From my husband.
What happened?
Infidelity.
Dear.
Yeah, and it didn't happen just once during our marriage, but it got to the point where the last time I found out, I kind of just vowed to myself and you know, made those ugly vows, and then I started going out, and I met a few guys, but I didn't date them except for one.
Yeah.
I got emotionally involved,
and
we were going through the whole divorce process, and at this time, I wasn't walking with God, but through all of this, that's how I found him, and now we're not, you know, we stopped it.
Stopped the divorce. Okay.
Yeah. And
does your husband know about the other guy?
Oh, yeah. He found out.
Okay.
And I think that's why it probably didn't lead to more because, you know, but even at the point when he found out, I really didn't care. But that's beside the point. My issue is that we're separated right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been kind of, you know, trying to work it out for, I would say, maybe 2 months now.
Okay.
And the issue is that I'm going to groups for healing, and because just the stuff from my past that I'm realizing that I've done a lot of things because of the way I grew up and insecurities and fear.
Yeah.
You know, it was just my childhood. So I'm aware of all of that, but he was controlling to a certain point. And we're separated, and he is, it kind of, when I, how can I put it? My concern is that I'm not where he wants to be, and so he wants to come back home, but I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get along and everything, and I just think that we're not really going into the root of the problem.
Why aren't you guys in marriage counseling?
Because we don't have the finances for it.
Okay, why aren't you going to a pastor saying, I don't have any money, but if we're ever going to get back together and save this marriage, we need somebody to be meeting with us and helping us to save our marriage. Churches are really big on saving marriages. They're really big on people that stop the divorce process. And there is a minister somewhere for no money that would meet with you.
Okay, see, I didn't know that, and I've been just kind of lost because I know I love him, and I'm not looking at him as far as the sin anymore. And I know there's still issues that both of us have to deal with, but my thing is that he kind of, like, makes me feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, that I'm the one that's, failing, and that.
So you say to him, you know what, you may be right, I don't know, but let's go talk to a pastor and let's just see if there are some things that we could get straightened out so we could get back together.
And we even have one of our New Life affiliates is in Orange that does a low sliding scale, and I can, you know, if you stay on the line, we'll give you the name for them.
Give that to Diane.
Yeah.
But again, that's what controllers do. They take you wherever you're at and somehow make you the problem because he's the one that had the multiple infidelities. And then you aren't at the same place he should be. So what he's doing is he's being dismissive. He's minimizing. He's telling you to get over it. And you're not quite at the same place because you're the one that's been violated.
And what's sad is that you launched out and said, I'm not married to a controller. Or you said you weren't dating a controller.
Yeah.
I'm not married. No, I'm married
right.
to one.
But see, there's a really big problem of something you said a little while ago I want to go back to. You said, I'm not thinking about his sin anymore. I love him too much. Or I love him and I'm not thinking about his sin. And I'm going...
No, I don't want to love... I don't... that's a thing I have a problem to expressing how I'm... What I mean. I'm not... I'm looking... okay, I'm not. I don't. I forgave him for the sin. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, but you see, that's. Yes, you need to hold on to it because if he's had multiple, I'm not saying don't forgive him, but trust mm-hmm. and forgiveness are two different things. So if your husband's yeah. been guilty of multiple infidelities, you need to never forget that he's had multiple infidelities.
Oh, I don't forget.
And you need to remind.
I don't forget.
And you need to remind him that you were hurt deeply by it. Therefore, your pace. Or developing trust is slower than him, and you need to make him jump through the hoops, not you jump through the hoops.
And it's a victim, a third victim that we've talked to here, that jumps through hoops for a multiple offender, a serial killer in the area of infidelity. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry for you.
I feel like, yeah. You're right. You hit it, and I didn't know what this
yeah.
was, but yeah, because I feel like okay, maybe my strength in, or my belief in God and faith is different.
No, you're just believing. You're believing the wrong things. You're believing what he wants you to believe. And he's causing doubt within you when you ought to be able to rise up and say, wait a second, he's the guy that had all these affairs, and he's saying, I'm not where he is spiritually?
Oh, no, not spiritually.
Or we're out of being accepting him back.
We're a relationship. Our relationship.
Right.
That it's not.
Well, any,
you know,
on any scale.
Yeah.
Whether it's spiritual, physical, mental, monetary, whatever.
And so what Sherry was saying about getting into therapy, a therapist will help you reflect and reframe all these things. And think them through.
And get stronger.
And get stronger.
One thing I see often with women when their husbands have had an affair is there is a vulnerability. Because typically that husband has not been loving them and coming close
yeah.
to them. And so they get hungry for emotional
mm-hmm.
touch. And
right.
it opened her up for an affair.
Sure did.
So they need to get protected. You need to get around a group of women that you can be accountable for so you don't walk into another regret and broken trust now on both sides.
She can go to Celebrate Recovery. She's in Anaheim. There's churches all around
yeah.
Orange
everywhere.
County. Everywhere that have Celebrate Recovery. She can go there for free.
Codependency group.
Codependency groups. She can Al-Anon groups, all kinds of groups that give support to just her type.
Yep.
I rarely get discouraged, but I'll tell you, these past three phone calls, I just feel for these women, it does not have to be that way. First, you have to identify the problem. It's not you, it's him. But if you live with the problem, now the problem's you.
Well, and it is them, though.
Yeah.
They have to look at
right.
it's, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
They're yeah, okay.
When you stick
Sorry.
With the problem, then you're the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
You now add
Very well
to it,
said.
Don't you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really hope some folks are listening, and the reason you're listening is because you feel trapped just like these women do. And you've got to make a bold move and get out of that relationship. But to do that, you have to get some support and encouragement and
yep.
and other stuff. All right. Well, we're out of time. I hope you can help us. If you can, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'd love to help you. We have a lot of things going on. Every Man's Battle Workshop for men. We have the New Life Weekend, the Marriage Weekend, Lose It for Life. All of that stuff available. There's a counselor in your area we could refer you to. I just hope and pray that some of the things you've heard today might challenge you to move out of where you are and move on to where God wants you to be. So to do that, you've got to do the right thing at the right time with the right motivation. Right reasons. You do that one little baby step at a time, you can get out of that mess. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.